go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog Rick Watson.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. Feel alive, and the world, I'm turning inside out, yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so
don't stop me now, don't stop me,
'cause I'm having a good time,
having a good time,
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky. Tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car, passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, 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 there's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, just while they call me Mr.
It is Hour 3, the Power Hour here on a Monday. Call us up on the Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053, text line 744-2990. Thanks to Marva in Miami and Tim Thomas. Good stuff, as always.
Yes, I have a good time. I don't want to stop at all. I'm a rocket ship on my way to Mars. On a collision course, I am a satellite. I'm out of control. I'm a sex machine ready to reload like an atom bomb. The battle, oh, 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 explode. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees.
Hope everybody's doing okay.
Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic woman of you.
Wanted to hear the breakdown part of the drum.
Hey, hey.
Sorry, I was answering some of the text messages here. I try to answer those throughout the show. I get a lot of questions and so forth. And all right, so many of people are coming in on the back end of our conversation about the 247 ACC prediction reveal. And they've got Florida State winning the league at 11-1, 8-0. They've got Miami 11-1, 7-1. Only lost to Florida State. Miami. That's right. Miami number two. Then they've got Clemson number three with their only two losses, Georgia and Florida State. So that's their top three right there. Florida State, Miami, and then Clemson. Number four, they've got the Wolfpack from NC State. They got the Wolfpack going 10-2, 7-1. And at number five, they've got SMU, who a lot of folks are high on. 9-3, 6-2. Carolina, number six. Non-conference schedule is Minnesota, Charlotte, NC Central, and James Madison. And then they have Tech at number seven. They have Tech, very fair, 8-4, 5-3 is where they have Tech. I have Tech higher than that. But they do have Tech of their four losses. Here's where I have a problem with what they did with Tech. They have three of the four losses coming at Lane Stadium. Rutgers, Georgia Tech, and Clemson. That's where they have the Tech losses. I just don't believe that's going to happen. I really don't. Louisville is number eight, Georgia Tech nine, and then Syracuse 10. So again, there's nothing that you look at here other than a few little things and think, okay, well, that's crazy. Miami number two is not going to happen, I don't think. And I don't think Tech's losing three home games. I don't see that going. Just don't see that happen. Question, how many ACC teams do you see in the playoffs? Oof, I don't know, man. See, I'm not convinced Florida State's going to be as good as everybody thinks. I just don't think these people take the time to look at it as, like, let's take Virginia Tech as the example, because they are the local example. We know this team. We know a little more in depthly the players that are coming back. The schedule is not strong. Schedule is very manageable. Schedule is, well, let's just say it the way it is. It's quite typical of a Virginia Tech football schedule. It's not going to go, you're not going to look at ever look at a Tech football schedule and go, whoa, boy, there's a murderer's row. It's just not their MO. I just don't see them losing any of the non-conference. Now, I did say this when we broke this thing down a couple weeks ago. I do believe the Rutgers game, because of the type of athlete they have. They do have Big Ten size. They play nasty defense. Greg Schiano, chip-on-the-shoulder mentality. They're never an easy mark at all. Have a new quarterback there. Still think it's a very winnable game. They still should be 4-0. You're not going to lose at Vandy. You're not going to lose to Marshall. And I think you're not going to go down to ODU and lay another egg. This is not going to happen. The Stanford trip, okay. Yeah, I know it's inconvenient going out west. I get that. But Stanford's not a good football team. They don't care about football in Palo Alto. They just don't. The only California school where football matters is USC. They just don't care about it. They don't care. It's the mindset. It's the type of politics that reign out there. It's the type of Generation Z student. They don't care. Football is just, okay, whatever. That's why they so eagerly accepted this bid to be part of the Power Four, just because, okay, doesn't matter. We'll figure everything else out. At least we're not going to be left behind like, you know, Washington State and Arizona State. They have Miami. They have Tech losing to Rutgers, at Miami, Georgia Tech, and Clemson. Miami and Clemson, okay. Georgia Tech at home won't be an easy mark. Wayne's right, text message. Need to take Lane back. Fans have done their part. Yeah, and that's right. It is time for the team to show you that they can go there and make this, other than a special Thursday night against some underwhelming opponent like a Boston College. That gets old too, doesn't it? If you're going to have big games like a night game on a Thursday or Friday, it needs to be a little bigger than, oh boy, who's coming in? Hey, watch out. Here comes BC again. Oh, yay. Yeah. Here come those Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Hey, all right. Stanley, Cavalier fan, asked about Virginia. Stanley, they're not very high on UVA. They got Lane at 2-10, 0-8. And they say the two games they predict them to win, they wouldn't be surprised if they lost. Richmond, yeah. Richmond's got a really good team coming back. And at Coastal Carolina. Ooh. Boy, do you think that could happen? Do you think Virginia could go 0-12? If you lose those two games, where's the win going to come from? At Wake, you're not going to beat Maryland. Louisville, at Clemson, Carolina, at Pitt, at Notre Dame, SMU, at Virginia Tech. Tell you this, and I know it's been an ordeal. If that were to happen, and this is if we're speculating, it's the offseason, that's what you can do. If Virginia would go to 0-12, you'd have to just clean house at that point. I mean, there's no way you could stand behind Tony Elliott at that point. If that happens, 2-10 might do it. I don't know. I mean, I can't see now, two seasons removed from the tragedy, that any longer being something that's going to be a higher consideration than being a goose egg in the win column. And again, this is just speculation. But I'm telling you, man, if you've got them winning two games and it's Richmond and Coastal, you can't feel good about either one of those games if you're an honest UVA fan, right? I mean, you would just have to go ahead at that point and just say, this did not work, Tony. Thanks. You did a wonderful job guiding this program through an unspeakable tragedy, an act of violence. Thank you for that. You will always have a special place in our hearts, but we're going to have to move in another direction because we can't be going 0-12. All right? Appreciate you. Again, you're a wonderful person, but we're going to have to do something else. So that's where Stanley, they have the Cavs. Stanley just texted in. Agreed 100% everything you just said about Coach Elliott. Great guy. He was the perfect guy to help get through that situation, but nobody down here, so he must be pretty close short. Where are you, Stanley? Says nobody down here believes that he's the man to turn the program around. Okay, interesting. I kind of get that vibe, yeah. Kind of get that vibe. And I hate it because, again, he seems like a really good dude and love to see him have some success, especially in lieu of everything that's going on. But that would have to be the death blow, I think, of that regime if they would go to 0-12, don't you think? I mean, they were second worst in conference record last year. And yeah, I tell you, I got to agree with their assessment. 2-10 is probably it. I don't see that any, you know. There you go. Stanley says he's right outside Charlottesville. Okay. Oh, thanks, Stanley. Thanks for listening in on the app. Good stuff, though. Anybody has any questions about where they have any teams in the 247 picks? You know, and I look at these and, okay, they're fine, but I'm going to see what Phil Steele has to say. That's when I start to really pay attention. We're back, more of Hour 3 when we return.
Big Dog on the Bear.
I've been stuffed in your pocket for the last 100 days. When I don't get my bath, I take it out on the slaves. So grease up your baby for the ball on the hill. I'll polish them rockets.
Quasi normal.
Swallow those.
25 minutes past the hour here on this Monday. I'm hearing from quite a few UVA people. It's interesting. And everyone, thank you, first of all. I said that perfectly and probably outlined their own thoughts process. Another text came in, lifelong UVA fan too. Love Tony Elliott. I'm just not sure he's the guy to turn the program around. Rick, I think you said that right. This is Dan. I'm a Virginia grad, support the program, but we're all in the same boat. We just kind of want to see if there's any improvement here coming up, and it doesn't sound like it, at least looking at that schedule. Yeah, another text message. What has happened to that program? It's a cultural thing, and I think Bronco Mendenhall ran into it a little bit down there. And I can speak to it a bit because that was a job that I interviewed for. I was approached when the radio job came up a few years back. And I think I've talked about this on the program before. But when Dave Kane left, Dave was on the show many times. He actually contacted me and said they'd be very interested in you. And so I talked and interviewed with Carla and Carla Williams, the AD. And it was a very strange kind of vibe that I got from the two people that I talked to. There were two different folks I talked to. Carla and somebody who represents their flagship radio station, who actually is in charge of most of the hiring. This was just one side of it. It just felt like, to me, it wasn't the place for me. I'll just say it that way. There's a lot of, it is at every school, but there are a lot of political leanings at UVA. How can I say this tactfully? Political leanings that almost become qualifications that they want in you if you're going to get a job there. Does that make sense? So I was called to do a follow-up interview, and I declined the interview and just said, at this time I'm not prepared to pursue this position. And they were very nice, and the rest is history. And I think the gentleman they have does a fine job, and it's fun. But the culture there seems broken for football. Now, we're not talking about how successful they are, and they're great in the Olympic sports, and that is very strong. And I can say this because I'm a UCLA fan, and it's the exact same thing at UCLA. Football does not matter a damn at UCLA. It's sickening. They have the worst game day experience, I think, of any power school in the country. West Coast mentality, soft as crap, mindset about all these other things. They believe their lifestyle and their politics are the only thing that matter. Football, oh, it's too violent. Not understanding, right? They're going into the Big Ten, hiring Deshaun Foster. UCLA's probably going to finish dead last in the Big Ten. I would not be surprised to see every poll have them dead last. And it feels like UCLA and UVA's football mentality toward that sport kind of mirrors one another. Although at UVA, they do, I believe, from the people I know, recognize how important it is. There's a lot of people down there that's flat out embarrassed about what is no longer even a rivalry with Virginia Tech. Right? I mean, every year you don't even think about Virginia winning the game, much less being competitive in the game. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We'll talk about this a little more because I think it's a very, very solid parallel to UCLA mindset in football same type of mindset that permeates throughout the academia at both of those schools. 3,000 miles apart, but they're on the same football trajectory. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back. Final segment on a Monday when we return.
Are you annoyingly inattentive? Do you watch a movie and then ask a zillion questions because you weren't paying attention? Do people ask, how do you sleep at night? Then you should get a mattress from Mattress Firm. They can help anyone sleep. Head to Mattress Firm's July 4th sale and get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 plus a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. All with free and fast delivery. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
In the summer, McAdoo's is all yours. There's a McAdoo's close by, so whether it's big plans for the weekend or a last-minute choice for lunch, dinner, or drinks, McAdoo's is your place for summertime food and fun. Bring the kids to celebrate a big game or the foursome after a round of golf. Have your party, business lunch, or meeting catered by McAdoo's. Check out McAdoo's.net for catering options and daily specials. In the summertime, McAdoo's is all yours. Visit in Blacksburg, Christiansburg, Radford, and Salem. For summertime fun, we'll see you at the Dews.
Here's your pinpoint weather forecast. It'll be sunny today with a daytime high at about 82. Northwest wind around 10 miles an hour. For tomorrow morning, we'll be starting off in the upper 50s. Tomorrow afternoon is going to be in the mid-80s. And then on Wednesday, a chance of showers and storms and hot once again. The daytime highs will be in the low 90s. On Thursday, a chance of showers and storms and highs in the mid-80s.
I'm WFXR meteorologist Tab O'Neill on the New River Valley's Rock Station 105.3, The Bear.
The New River Valley's Rock Station, 105.3, The Bear.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey!
The Big Dog on the Bear.
So if you're lonely, you know
we are rolling along here on a Monday. appreciate you all, as always. Text line's been popping, 744-2990. I mean, it has been absolutely popping. All right, so getting back to my, I think, very apt comparison. At UCLA, Chip Kelly came in, and everybody was so excited, right? Oh, my goodness, Chip Kelly, what a great get. He's been a successful collegiate coach. UVA brought in Bronco Mendenhall. Oh, my goodness gracious, Bronco Mendenhall. Wow. This is, they're taking it seriously now. This is going to be. Well, Chip Kelly absolutely destroyed the UCLA program, had a horrible attitude. He was bad with the media. He wouldn't wear the school colors on game day, argued against. He was terrible. He was a terrible recruiter. The ego, I don't know what in the world happened with all that, but maybe he took advantage of the lack of seriousness around the program. I don't believe the failure of Bronco Mendenhall was like that at all. I think he really was more credible, clearly, than Chip Kelly. But Bronco Mendenhall, you know, left. You know, he's coaching again, right? So it just didn't work. And I don't know if it was a clash of himself and his mindset once he got embedded in the Charlottesville culture or not, just like it is out in Westwood. I mean, think about UCLA. They play in the absolute most prestigious stadium in all of college football, the Rose Bowl. I mean, you walk into that stadium, you hear the echoes of Keith Jackson, all those great calls over the years. There's not a stadium. I mean, you got to listen sometimes to Kirk Herbstreit talk about the Rose Bowl, what it means just to walk in there to call a game. Yet, how embarrassing is it? You know, it holds like 110,000. And if you're there on a Saturday, you may have 25,000 there, maybe. 30 is like a, oh my goodness, you got 30,000 to support UCLA football. And they always have those shots from above at how empty the stadium is. It's just embarrassing. So they hired Deshaun Foster, who was on Chip Kelly's staff. They didn't really go out and do much of an interviewing process. He's never been a head coach. And here they are, year one, going into the murderer's row of the Big Ten. I mean, it is going to be an absolute bloodbath. But hey, they're out of debt now. They're getting that Big Ten money, and that's why that move was important. The brand is solid. Football program is not. They'll be fine in everything else. But what matters the most, right? They're going to be fine in everything, but what matters the most? And it's the same thing at UVA. They're fine in everything, but what matters the most? And that's football. And I think it's a little harder to dissect about what happened. I mean, it's just complete apathy and political mindset out in Westwood. I mean, I know what that's all about. Remember, they just had all the protests out there. They took over campus, and campus police would do nothing. City police did nothing for several days until finally violence. I mean, just ridiculous. Well, it's harder to track exactly what happened in Charlottesville, right? In my opinion. But is it broken beyond repair, or at least beyond any kind of immediate repair? It feels like it, doesn't it? It just really feels like it. And what exactly happened? I mean, I would like your thoughts on that. 744-2990. What happened down in Charlottesville? Because Tech has not been really good either for a long time. So this isn't like, oh, Virginia Tech's dominated the state in recruiting and in winning bowl games and being part of the postseason. That's what happened. Well, no. No, that's not what happened at all. Virginia has not had a winning record since 2019. That's when they were 9-5. 2020, 5-5, 6-6, then 3-7, and then 3-9. They were 8-5 in 2018, but then 6-7 in 17, 2-10, like they're predicted to go this year. 247 Sports. That was 2016, 4-8. Good Lord. They had losing records from 2012 all the way through 2017. They've only had two winning seasons since 2012. Two winning seasons. Wow. And it's not like I said, Tech has been good. They haven't. Bronco Mendenhall's best season was 9-5, that 9-5 year in 2019. They actually went to the Orange Bowl, lost, played in three bowls during that span. You remember, it was Mike London before that, and Tony Elliott hasn't won more than three games in each of his first 2 years. So, Virginia fan can't look at Tech as an example and say, hey, boy, those Hokies took over the state. That's what happened. Well, no. Tech's trying to climb out of their disaster, right? The signs are pointing that they're on their way, but not so much with Virginia. Brent Pry and Tony Elliott were hired at the exact same time. That's why this is a crucial year. And then looking at that schedule, you're like, oof. When did football become what it is? Well, it's happened within the last 12 years, right? We just gave you the records. But really, I mean, since 2000. Only eight winning records since 2000. This is what, year 25? Because you count the 2000 season. This will be the 25th season since we turned the century over. And just eight winning records. So, I just don't think it takes on importance. You watch any game on a Saturday, UVA, it's much like the Rose Bowl, except UVA is worse because it's in a smaller stadium. Much smaller stadium. When Virginia Tech fan goes there, they have no problem filling up the stadium because either Virginia fans are selling their tickets or they don't have to worry about battling for seat positioning. And despite Virginia Tech being subpar over the last several years, their fans have always shown up, and that's never wavered. We've talked about that many times. So the culture around Virginia Tech had to be fixed from the coaching aspect, clearly. Whit Babcock allowed that culture to get away from what made that program successful. It's trying to fight back. Virginia, the culture has permeated beyond the coach and into the fan base to the point to where I don't know how you get it back. Having a great season would be a great way to start. But, you know, they had Brennan Armstrong, a star, budding star quarterback, who a few years ago was one of the rising NFL prospects. What happened? He came back. Tony Elliott got there, had a terrible year, ended up leaving and having a fairly good year for NC State, his final year of college football. Inexplicably, Brennan Armstrong fell off the face of the earth while he was in Charlottesville, an offense that doesn't seem to fit the personnel. Coaches who haven't been able to hit the recruiting trail and do a really good job. Tony Elliott, again, no matter what you say about him, still having to deal with the tragic shooting. Maybe it's put more of a shadow over everything than even what we can assume, right? That was directly involved within the football program. Three players lost their lives. And I understand that it takes a while. So keep in mind that as we talk about this, nothing but full sympathy and understanding as to how this looks different because of that. It does. And it's a different feel, and that's why you wonder about the leeway. But even before that awful, awful day, I mean, Bronco Mendenhall faced it as well. And I said at the time, when that happened, as a matter of fact, it happened during the course of the show. The news came across, I want to say it was in the third hour of one of those shows. I said at the time, remember Bronco Mendenhall? He said, hey, I'm done. Done this a long time. It's time to be a family man. And I was like, no. He's a football coach. He's going to be a head coach. Now, he did take a couple years off, right? He went to Montana. But what happens? Well, he takes the job at New Mexico. Not necessarily a football hotbed, the Lobos. Albuquerque's a great town. Been there a couple of times. But not necessarily a huge football hotbed. Now, he was at BYU. Maybe that part of the country is what makes him more comfortable as a coach. Maybe he couldn't make that coast-to-coast swap. Or maybe he just got eaten up with the culture that was permeating around the UVA campus and that university. And we'll see how he does at New Mexico. But I felt then he was going to be a coach again. He was just too passionate about what he did. And I got to be honest, much like the UVA fans that I'm hearing from them now as we have this discussion right now, they thought Bronco Mendenhall was going to be the savior of that program. So did I. It was a great hire on the surface. Great hire. 2-10 in the first year. 6-7 in year two, then finally to 8 wins, then the 9 wins in the Orange Bowl appearance. And then what happened? Well, he went 11-11. Didn't go to a bowl, and then he left. So this is even well before the things Tony Elliott has had to deal with and what he's trying to do. And maybe it takes a little longer. Maybe he is going to have a little more of leeway if things don't get turned around, because there has to be an understanding about what happened there with the shootings as well. But something, and the thing about it too, wouldn't you think after that the student body would rally around the program a little bit and show up, even if they're not good, and show up to support the team, but it's just not happening. Nobody goes there on game day. Nobody. Wayne asks, Fuente versus Mendenhall. Is it a tie? No, not in the slightest. It is a, if you're going on who wins the battle of ineptitude, that is Justin Fuente, one side and down the other. Despite his first year and three quarters of success that he had with Frank Beamer's team. Because at least Bronco Mendenhall had the right culture before him to go in. Virginia didn't have any culture in place after Mike London. I mean, Mike London finished up with 4 consecutive losing seasons. Here's Justin Fuente coming in, replacing a Hall of Famer and the legend of the program, and Frank Beamer wanted to fire Bud Foster, was forced to keep Bud Foster, so all that was tenuous. And then the culture completely was destroyed that was already in place. All he had to do was come in and say, hey, I'm going to be a Hokie. Nah. I'm going to come in and be Justin Fuente, and we're going to stop recruiting the state and go to Tech. Don't get me started. So, no, it is absolutely 100% a victory in terms of ineptitude for the Justin Fuente hire. Absolutely. Not even close. Now, Bronco Mendenhall, even though didn't follow up 9-5, he still didn't fall off the face of the earth like Fuente did. They were 11-11. And then he left. Both coaches, well, Fuente had no choice, but I think we saw the handwriting on the wall when the whole, remember that embarrassing, hey, they decided not to play in a bowl. We let the team decide. And at that point, Justin Fuente was gone. But at UVA, they're still searching for the culture. And you know who had the culture and who did a great job and, by the way, was just a great guy? It was Al Groh.
Hi, I'm Al Groh, head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers, and you're listening to Big Dog Sports Talk with the biggest dog of all, Rick.
I don't think UVA fan realized that Al Groh was a guy who got that culture, right? Now, it fell off for him the last 2 years as well. And, of course, George Welsh will always be the greatest of the modern coaches in UVA history. George Welsh was just, he's UVA's version of Frank Beamer. There's no question about it. Just a great, great football coach, George Welsh. Great coach. You realize George Welsh only had one losing season at UVA? Two losing seasons. I'm sorry. 1982, he inherited a team that had won one game. Won two games the following year, and then the only other losing season that he had was 86. So, from 82 to 2000, some 19 seasons, he only had two losing seasons. That guy, you're having 17 out of 19 winning seasons in Charlottesville, you're doing a job that you deserve absolutely 100% all the accolades you're ever going to get. Groh was a really good college football coach as well. That's true. Text message. Groh was the one who called out the fan base for their tradition of wearing a shirt and a tie. Yeah, he didn't like that. He did not like that. Groh went 9-5, 8-5, 8-4, 7-5, 9-4. Then it fell apart for him, 5-7, and then his last year, 3-9. Bring in Mike London, who's another terrific guy, by the way. Been on the show before. Love Mike London. 4-8, 8-5, then 4-8, 2-10, 5-7, 4-8. So I highlight all this to show you that it's not just a Tony Elliott problem. It is a massive cultural problem that goes back all the way to the Al Groh era. He had to fix it. He was able to. Mike London couldn't fix it. Bronco Mendenhall couldn't fix it. And so far, there are no signs that Tony Elliott's going to fix it. We're back to wrap up the Monday edition episode.
A day to remember. It's Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson.
Good conversation. Appreciate, by the way, I really appreciate hearing from the UVA fans. It's good stuff. Because again, we're not criticizing you at all, right? We're not criticizing the program at all. We're just having a discussion about it. I mean, it's in Tech's best interest if UVA is a competitive program, right? I mean, it's just, I don't know the answer. We're searching for the answers. But when you see the success they have in other sports, UVA across the board, the Olympic sports, baseball team, terrific, got to the College World Series. It just centers around whatever it is doesn't connect to football, and it's the same thing that's happening out in Westwood at UCLA. They're good in everything else, or competitive, or capable of winning championships. But football, it is just non-existent, man. And I don't know. I really, really don't know why it's that way, but it is. All right, tomorrow on the program, Mike Burnup will join us. You know, we'll talk to him a little bit about that because he can talk about it. It won't be a critical thing, but he's witnessed it, and he's talked about many times. You want to have a rival again. Tech right now does not have a football rival in this state. Can UVA be something this year? I don't know, man. Looking at that preview and seeing that schedule makes you wonder about year three. It's not like they rattled the news cycle with a lot of big-time recruits or portal entries. Mike Burnup, Jermaine Farrell, and David Smith tomorrow. We'll see you then, everybody. Take care.
all of us here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.